Well, good morning, everybody. How are we doing?
Great.
Good morning.
That's good. Well, today we're in the book of Exodus again.
Okay.
And another way to think about the book Exodus, the Greek for Exodus is exhodos, which means road out.
Road.
In other words, a road.
Oh, road out.
Like Pearson Road.
Oh,
out.
Okay.
So we're going to be learning more about the road out of it, road out to the promised land.
Amen.
Now, how many of you like underdog stories?
Yes. Oh, I love underdog stories.
Well, that's good, because we got one today, and we're going to talk about Moses.
Amen.
And if you remember, last week I told you guys to bookmark Exodus chapter 1, verse 22. But actually, I'm going to have you start with verse 16, and I want you to pay attention to the wording that I'm using. Because, see, I'm using my handy-dandy Greek-Hebrew Bible.
What?
And there's a play on words, because if you remember last week, God was out smarting Pharaoh by how he did things to save him. So in verse 16, when you were helping the Hebrew women give birth and see them upon their birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. Now that's what Hebrew, Exodus 1:16 says.
Mm-hmm.
But Exodus 1:22 says, then Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep alive. So there's a little bit of a play on words there. And you're going to see this as we go along. Because Moses, well, you're going to see how Moses is actually saved twice by those words. But starting in verse 1, it says, now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. And a woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. So I did some looking, and the parents were actually mentioned in Exodus 6:20, and their names are Achabed, Amram, and Jochebed. Mm-hmm. And Moses is actually the youngest sibling of Aaron and Miriam. And he was born in a powerful nation, but the bad thing is he was born in an unfriendly world with royal death sentence,
mm-hmm.
you know, where they're killing males. But the good thing is he was a child of believing parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know about you, but those that are parents, imagine what it's like when that baby first comes out of the womb. That feeling, that euphoria, to where nothing else matters afterwards. I mean, and I had two children, and that feeling, it's not safe for either one. I had feelings for one, but then I had even higher feelings for the second one. Just that feeling. The feeling that it was my first one was my daughter that came out. And I got to hold her, and she just nuzzled into my arm right the right way. And my son, when he grabbed my little pinky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that, you know, that I'll never forget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, turn with me to Hebrews 11:23 for a minute. Hold your place in Exodus, because we're going to be staying there.
All right,
but I want you to turn with me to Hebrews 11:23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid because of the king's edict. Wait a minute, I'm going to say that again. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months. So, we talked about the play on words. And he in Exodus 1:16, when he says that you are to put the boys to death, this is before the midwives are saying, but what if the women are so fast as far as delivering the child? You know, you can't, basically saying you can't stop Mother Nature from happening.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Then Pharaoh uses the word cast into the Nile. Okay? There's a difference between putting to death and casting. If you see what I'm saying. You know, God changed his words. And we're going to see more about that in a little bit, but out of natural parental instinct and faith, you know, God caused the mother to hide Moses for 3 months. So let's go on to verse 3. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds on the bank of the Nile. And his sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to the bathe at the Nile with her maidens walking alongside the Nile. And she saw the basket among the reeds, and she sent her maid and brought it to her. Verse 6. When she saw it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' child." Mm-hmm. So Moses was supposed to be put to death by being cast into the Nile, right? So his mother put him in a wicker basket. Well, guess what? That wicker basket, the words that are used to describe it are the same words that are only described for Noah's Ark, for a waterproof basket. It was actually a papyrus chest. But the mother faithfully let go of precious Moses, you know, trusting God would take care of the basket and give it back to her. You know, as she laid, I mean, she set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. So she just went like this, gently. She didn't go boom. You know, she didn't take it and go like this. She gently placed it into the reeds. There's a difference. Mm-hmm. If you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then his sister, Miriam, stood at a distance to see what happened to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came to the bathed at the Nile, and when she saw the basket among the reeds, she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying, and she had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children."
Amen.
So she had pity on Moses. This was the beginning of the second saving of Moses, because he was saved once by being put in a waterproof basket.
Mm.
He wasn't cast in the Nile into the depths of the Nile. He was placed on the water's surface for all intents and purposes, just like Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark did not sink. Let's go on to verse 7. His sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nursery from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Aha! Mm-hmm. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I shall give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. God arranged a clever plan for Pharaoh's daughter and Moses to be reunited yet again. And Moses' mother trained him in his early years. You know, because Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, you know, Moses also became an heir to the throne in Egypt. You know, but Moses, because he had his mother, was also raised Hebrew. Hold your place and let's go to Acts 7:22, if you will. I'm enjoying this. I don't know about you guys.
Come on, brother. It's good. Acts 22?
No, Acts 7, verse 22.
Oh, okay.
Acts 7, verse 22. And Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians, and he was a man of power in words and deeds. Now I want you to keep a place there because we'll be going back there later. But notice that as he grew up, he was in learning of all of the Egyptians, and he was a man of power of words and deeds. Now this isn't how we remember Moses. When we hear about the burning bush, or when we hear the serpent. But in a few minutes, we're going to see how he got that way. So here we see now, in verse 10, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she became her son, and she named him Moses, because I drew him out of the water. Now it's funny, because the word for Moses is Moshe in Hebrew, meaning to draw out. Some have objected that an Egyptian princess would give a Hebrew name to her foster child. However, there's a comparison between Hebrew and Egyptian names that reveals that there was an Egyptian name virtually identical in sound and meaning to Moshe, as in the case of with a number of personal names in modern Western languages. It may be that the princess gave an Egyptian name and the sacred writer chose its Hebrew counterpart. The text in the Hebrew Bible could also be construed to mean that it was Moses' mother who named him. Mm. So that's a fact for you. Mm. But now we're going to go over to Acts. We're going to go back to Acts 7:23, and we're going to read verses 23-25. Let me get back there. But when he was approaching the age of 40, it entered his mind to visit his brethren, the sons of Israel. And when he saw one of them being treated unjustly, he defended him and took vengeance for the oppressed by striking down the Egyptian. And he supposed that this brother understood that God was granting him deliverance, but through him they did not understand. Now we're going to go back to verse 11, because we just talked about a fight going on. Now it came about in those days when Moses had grown up that he went out with his brethren and looked upon their hard labors or burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that. And when he saw there was no one around, he struck down the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. And he went out the next day, and behold, two Hebrews were fighting with each other. And he said to the offender, "Why are you striking your companion?" But he said, "Who made you prince or judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and said, "Surely the matter has become known." Okay, now Moses is 40 years old at this time. And he sees a fight between the Hebrew and the Egyptian. How many of you have seen the movie School Ties with Brendan Fraser and Matt Damon? It came out in the late 80s. Anyhow, it's a school about this rich Catholic private boarding school. And they had a rich history in football. But they had a problem trying to beat this one team. So what they did was they gave Brendan Fraser's character a scholarship because he was inner city and he was Jewish. Nobody knew that. Well, Matt Damon's character happened to play the same position as Brendan Fraser. Well, his dad one day got drunk and blurted out that, yeah, our Savior's a Hebe. So because of that, the locker room was split. Half of it was, oh, he's a spy, he's a Hebe, he's, you know, blah, blah, blah. But half the team's like, yeah, but he's still one of us. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how Moses was. You know, he sees the Egyptian getting beat, but, you know, he also sees the Hebrews' standpoint. You know, I was in the same boat when I was in high school. I went to projects with my friends after playing football. I was white. They were black. And when I'd see fights going on, sometimes I felt like I was in the middle. Mm-hmm. You know, do I stand there and fight? Or do I just stand back? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what Moses was. You know, and the fact is, in verse 13, I'm sorry, verse 12, when it says he looked this way and that way, and he saw there was no one there, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Moses did what he thought was right at the time. So I guess he did choose the Hebrews for that. Mm-hmm. For that time. But then he went out the next day, and behold, two Hebrews were fighting each other. And he said to the offender, why are you striking your companion? You know, here's a fact right now. Just like Jesus, Moses could not deliver when he lived in the palaces of glory. Because he was living in Egypt at this time. He had to come down from the throne, away from the palace, and to be humbled before he could deliver his people. You know, Moses was rejected by his own people. Why are you striking your companion? You know, instead of being a prince of Egypt, being considered a prince of Egypt, he was considered a murderer or slash meddler or a prince or a judge. Well, you might ask, what's the difference between a prince or a judge in this case? Well, a prince has the right to rule and expects royalty, which he was Egyptian royalty. Mm-hmm. So he had the right to expect royalty. But a judge has the right to tell you what to do and punish you if you don't do it. So which position? So Moses was in a no-win situation at that point. You know, and I look at this passage, and there's some things that are in common with Moses and Jesus. Moses and Jesus were favored by God from birth. They were both miraculously preserved in childhood. They're both mighty in word and deed. They both offered deliverance to Israel. Both were rejected with spite. Both were rejected in their right to be prince and judge over Israel. You know, just like Jesus, like I said, he had to come and live in a humble place. You know, God had to dumb him down, for lack of better terms. So Moses couldn't lead the people being that mighty prince that he was. Moses had to be slow of speech. He had to stumble a little bit. He had to be fearful. You know, Moses' plan of deliverance of Israel and thinking he was the man was wrong. God had his plan. As a matter of fact, when Moses was 80, God led Moses and Abraham to Pharaoh. Going on in verse 15, says, when Pharaoh heard of this matter, he tried to kill Moses. And Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Now the priests of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came to draw water. And they filled the troughs with their father's flock. Then the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. When they came to Reuel, their father, he said, why have you come back so soon today? So they said, an Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds. And what is more, he even drew water for us and watered the flock. You know, Moses was running for his life. He needed water. But what did he do? He helped. You know, how many of you in a time of need are you going to sit there and help somebody? How many times when you've been struggling are you going to sit there and call somebody and actually help them? More importantly, how many times are we in the position when we're struggling, can we actually reach out and help that person? Moses made it possible in this time. Excuse me a minute. Going on to verse 20. It says, and he said to his daughters, where is he then? Why is it that you have left the man behind? Invite him in to have something to eat. So see, he's going to be rewarded. Verse 21, and Moses was willing to dwell with the man, and he gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses. So Moses has a wife now. And believe it or not, the word Zipporah means twitterer. Little bird. Then she gave birth to a son, and he named him Gershom. For I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. Now it came about in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died. And the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry for help, because their bondage rose up to God. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them. How awesome is God? The fact that he remembers a covenant.
Yeah, amen.
That we talked about was over 690 years ago. It started with Abraham. Then it went to Isaac. And then Jacob. So down the line, through the lineage, it stays true. And Moses gets the same... Moses gets to reap the same benefits. How awesome is God? Mm-hmm. You know, I think about this and how it applies to me. You know, I was once a foreigner in a foreign land. It's called living in the world. Not knowing who God was. I had all these people reaching out for me. Some were from the world, but some were disciples. So finally there was a disciple that I didn't know about when I was at an AA meeting. He first reached out to me and asked me to try and come to the Nashville church. So I nonchalantly said yeah, but didn't do anything then. Years later, I'm working third shift at MAPCO, in Nashville. Got this brother happy as go lucky at 6:30 in the morning. I'm working third shift. I'm half-witted at that point in time. I'm ready for bed.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Richard, how you doing? He slaps me on the back. I'm like, why don't you just shut up? And it's like, do you want to go to church with me? I rebuffed him a little bit, but then finally, yeah, I'll go to church. And the first time I went to church, it just so happened that the door was opened by a certain female. I won't name any names, but she became very powerful in my life. What was that?
So look who God uses.
Yeah, look who God uses.
Whatever it takes.
And then it comes to, they wanted to study the Bible with me. And I was a Bible scholar. They couldn't tell me nothing wrong. They couldn't tell me anything different. That was my mindset. Boy, did God prove me wrong with that. Especially using brothers like Barry Holt, Kevin Herman. And wouldn't you know it, the day I got baptized, after I counted the cost a couple times, that same female was there to greet me out at the baptistry. But the reason I mention this is because this could have been my story right here. I could have been Moses, but instead I could have been in the Hebrew. I could have been the victim instead of being Moses the conqueror. And then being Moses, Moses for our faith is somebody I'll never forget. Because he was on a journey.
Yeah.
He had the best of times. And he had the worst of times, just like us.
Yeah.
But one thing about Moses, regardless of what happened to him, regardless of the fact that they attempted to kill him twice before, when he was barely born, he survived.
Mm-hmm.
He survived fights. And by faith, he survived to do God's will. Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters, as we go out today, by faith, let's all seek to do God's will. Thank you very much, and to God be the glory.